Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's a privilege now to present to you the Sons and Daughters Yisrael Abel Mounting Sanctuary. It's a privilege now to present to you Son Yisrael Abel Mabai Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about Yahweh's 13 attributes. Now, we are all striving to become like Yahweh, so we need to know what Yahweh's character. If you would turn over in your books of Yahweh to page 74, or 73 and 74, it's Exodus 34 and verse 6 and 7. And it says, Yahweh passed in front of him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh Almighty, merciful and compassionate, long-suffering and abounding in righteousness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but by no means leaving unpunished those who are guilty, who visits the sin of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And if you look at side note R4, it gives the list of the 13 attributes of Yahweh. It's almighty, merciful and compassionate, long-suffering, abounding, possessing righteousness and truth, keeping mercy, forgiving, judges sin, heavenly Father, making the covenant with his people, doing marvels, awesome, and zealous. We know that Yahweh is the almighty, and he is the only source of power in the universe. We will never be as almighty as Yahweh, but he is training us to be able to help govern the universe. We are the seeds of Yisrael Hawkins, and Yisrael means he who rules as Yahweh rules. Merciful and compassionate. Yahweh has true care and concern for everyone. He saw the suffering in the universe and wanted to do something about it. Overseer Yisrael Hawkins recently told us again, what the true meaning of mercy is. The Pope says to be merciful, but he doesn't even know what mercy is. Mercy is pointing out people's sins, not just saying to be merciful. Teaching them to keep Yahweh's laws so they do not experience the curse. Did not experience the curses of sin. That is what true mercy is. Yahweh is very long-suffering. You can read in the scriptures how Yahweh continually teaches mankind his laws, even though they reject him. Pastor said that Yahweh would even lick the dirt off your shoes if that would get you into the kingdom. So we need to show the same long-suffering to each other. The peaceful solution teaches us to be tolerant to each other. The attribute of abounding, reading from the House Yahweh Workshop manuals that have the 13 attributes, it says the Hebrew word for abounding means abundant in quantity, size, rank, and quality. Each member of Yahweh's house has been fully supplied to overcome sin. This attribute reveals to us the great promise that Yahweh will give us if we use every resource we have been given to overcome sin. It is up to us to abound in righteousness and become more like Yahweh. The attribute of possessing righteousness and truth is one that everyone in the house of Yahweh must have. If you can turn over to Psalms 25, verse 10, it's on page 443. It's Psalms 25, verse 10. It says, the paths of great Yahweh are righteousness and truth. All who keep his covenant and his laws will ever walk therein. The laws of Yahweh teach us how to live righteously and teach us the truth and uncovered the lies taught to us in our path. When we take hold of them, we take hold of life itself. Keeping mercy. The scripture states that those who show mercy, mercy will be shown to them. This is when one is treated wrongly and decides not to retaliate, he is keeping mercy. Matthew 5 verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy." Forgiving is turning to righteousness in the face of wrongdoing to overcome it. And we must have this attribute and be forgiving in order to be forgiven by Yahweh. Forgiveness brings peace. Judge a sin. Yahweh can not allow sin to go on without correction. And he always corrects sin. Yahweh set his 613 laws to guide us towards blessings and away from curses. We are learning to judge all things according to Yahweh's laws. Heavenly Father, we can never become the Heavenly Father Yahweh, but we can take on his character. That's what our training is all about. As long as we follow the teachings of the one sent, Yeshua Hawkins, as he is guided by Yahshua and Yahweh. Then Yahweh will always be our Heavenly Father. If you can turn over to Psalms 48 and verse 14, it's on page 452. And it says, "For Yahweh is our Heavenly Father forever and ever. You, O Yahweh, will be our guide until the end." Yahweh made an agreement with his people known as a covenant. Yahweh promised to be our Heavenly Father forever and grant us with all the blessings he has in store for us. And we promise to live by and submit his laws. If you can turn over to Exodus 19, in verse 5 through 6. Exodus 19 and 5 through 6, it's on page 60. It says, "Now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the laws that you shall speak to the children of Israel." Yahweh keeps his promises. We must make sure to hold up our end of the agreement and keep our vows we made to Yahweh at baptism. Doing marvels. We can definitely see that Yahweh is doing a marvelous work in these last days. We are the seventh work. The last era that will resurrect all the other eras and usher in the kingdom of Yahweh. He is doing an awesome work. Stand in your place and continue to do the work you have been assigned to do in the great house of Yahweh. If you can turn over to Exodus 34 and verse 10. It's on page 74. It says, "And he said, I am making a covenant with you in front of all your people. I will do marvels such as have never been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among you, among whom you are, shall see the work of Yahweh, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you." Here Yahweh shows his love and care for his people. Yahweh's awesome power and mind can be seen in the plan he has for mankind and his creation. Only Yahweh has the power to create something out of nothing and to foretell the future. The more Pastor teaches us about the plan of Yahweh, it is easy to see this attribute of Yahweh. And the last attribute of Yahweh is zealous. The last attribute of Yahweh is zealous is shown in his desire to make us into a holy people and put an end to sin. He is faithful to carry out every detail of his plan. In the same way, we need to show our zeal and energy towards the work of Yahweh. Through our zeal in performing the laws in all of our actions, it is a zeal that will help us to endure until the end. So I encourage you to stand strong for Yahweh, continue to study and take on all the attributes of Yahweh, and help our overseer, Yisrael Hawkins, to do the work. And with that, if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, Son of Ishmael, with your prayer.
The great son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Yeshron Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. My title today is Do Not Abuse People's Belongings. Abusing people's belongings is not only hurtful, it is actually a form of stealing. And yes, we are commanded, do not steal in prohibitive law number 244. It is also one of the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal. Please turn over to Exodus 20 verse 15 on page 61. And it says, you shall not steal. We should be obedient to this law. When we steal, we hurt other people's feelings and deprive them of the use of their belongings. Just think, if you went to use one of your possessions and it was not there or was not broken, you might be a little upset. As we may know, people are belongings too. Everyone belongs to someone. So if you abuse or even telling false testimony about them, you have stolen from not only them, but also the person they belong to. Remember, by stealing, we are disobeying Yahweh's laws. In your book of Yahweh, or Bible, if that's all you have, you can read about someone who was abused and stolen from. Please turn over to Job 1 verse 14 through 17 on page 412. And it says, and a messenger came to Job and reported, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding nearby. When the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off, your servants have been killed with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. When he was still speaking, another also came and reported, the fire of Yahweh, lightning fell from the sky and burned your sheep and your servants, consuming them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. When he was still speaking, another also came and reported, the Chaldeans formed three raiding bands and swept down simultaneously upon the camels and carried them off. They put your servants to the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. An important thing to realize is Job did not retaliate. He did not abuse or steal in return. He was obedient to all the law, and he still loved his neighbor as commanded in Leviticus 19, verse 18. When we keep this law, we will not even think about touching someone's belongings without asking first. We would ask permission. Now, could you imagine asking a father if it is okay to hit his son in the face if he says something you don't like? What do you think his answer would be? It would be no, of course. If you don't ask first, you trespass. When you do this, you not only hurt yourself, your brother and yourself, you also sin against Yahweh. Please turn over to Leviticus 6, verse 2 through 5 on page 84. And it says, if a person sins and commits a trespass against Yahweh by lying to his brother about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has deceived and extorted from his brother, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it, or vows falsely in any one of these things, a man may do sinning. then it shall be because he has sinned is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has deceitfully obtained, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the last thing which he found. For all he has vowed falsely about, he shall restore its full value, adding one-fifth more to it, and giving it to whomever it belongs to on the day of this trespass offering. Think about that the next time you want to trespass, abuse, and steal someone's belongings. We have to guard our minds to stay on the right path to righteousness. I remember seeing a car going on a wide road. The car was going side to side. It reminded me of being tossed to and fro in the scriptures. Please turn off to Ephesians 4, verse 14 on page 918. And it says, no longer are we to be children, tossed to and fro, and carried out with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. I thought about the straight and narrow path and how we should set our minds in advance to stay on this narrow path. In the 12th book of Israel, 20 verse 27, it says, and that's what you need to do. I don't want you to die. I want you to be alive and help me resurrect all the dead. That's what I want. Crazy out of class. But you won't receive that power unless you do what I am telling you. Keep your mind on the straight and narrow path. Yes, watch your step. Watch your stupid words. Don't let them come out of your mind. Don't let them come out of your mouth. In conclusion, we should always stay on the narrow path, always asking first, not abusing anyone, and being obedient to all the 613 laws. And if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, Deacon Buffalo Bill Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is The Vatican is Pushing Rebellion to the Laws While Pushing Obedience to Sin. Now, very recently, the Vatican wrote up another goofy letter in rebuttal to pastors' comments 2 weeks ago. Speaking on the 100th anniversary of the Fatima, Portugal sighting, the Pope also canonized two of the three children, Jacinta and Francisco Marto. Now, I have an article here from the Crux. Pope Francis called on hundreds of thousands gathered in Fatima to be pilgrims with Mary, but the one in the Bible, not the one that is unapproachable or who restrains the arm of the vengeful God. Yes, the gods are vengeful. Yahweh isn't vengeful. The word vengeful never has been used to describe Yahweh by any of his prophets. It was placed there in the book of Yahweh that was captured in 70 AY, and then the name Yahweh was changed to God by this Vatican system. One who restrains the arm of the vengeful God, one sweeter than Jesus, the ruthless judge. Yes, Jesus was a ruthless judge, but Yeshua, the lamb slain for our sins, is not. He is our lawyer, but a lawyer cannot defend a guilty client. We've got to be obedient. We've got to be obedient to the laws and obedient to Yeshua Hawkins. Otherwise, we're not going to make it in the kingdom. Jesus, Francis said, redeemed sin on a cross. Oh, wait, I thought he was a ruthless judge. Maybe not. So here's what he's not making any sense here. The book of Yahweh, which the Vatican stole, does not say cross, it says stake. You know, it makes some people wonder if you guys can read in that and 7 hills of Rome. For a moment, Francis shared a moment with the hundreds of sick people whom he addressed after his mass. But the Pope, and the Vatican, they don't care for these sick. His system is creating all these diseases from their Sodom mites, coming from their sodomy and their disobedience. If you'll turn to Romans 1, in verse 25, it says, "Who exchanged the truth of Yahweh for the lie, lords, Balaam, gods, goddesses, Elohims, and demons, and worshiped and served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Praise Yahweh, hallelujah, Yahweh. For this reason, Yahweh gave them up to degrading passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use into that which is against nature. And the men did the same thing, leaving the natural use of the woman. They burned in their lust for one another. Men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies the penalty for their error, which is their fitting retribution. And so, since they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, Yahweh gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not proper." I'm reading from the Book of Yahweh, which the Vatican stole, rewrote, perverted, translated into Latin so only the evil men of their church could read it. And until it was rewritten and put into English, French, and German, and the languages of the native people who were trying to hang on to the holiness. And then in 1440, with the invention of the printing press, it badly thwarted your plans. Speaking of the Vatican, of course. Then this made way for the Bible. Now, although it was badly mistranslated, it was what Yishuv Hawkins and his family read every night, and now it is being translated back to the proper, the original. Now, nothing the Vatican does is going to stop this. Nothing this divining serpent can do. Instead of divining, Yahweh tells the truth. Now, the pontiff said that mercy comes before judgment. Now, this comes after he just had finished saying that their version of mercy is corrupt, evil, and it stinks. And now here the Vatican comes out and says, oh, mercy must come before judgment. But they try to argue with the truth, but they're failing. Their mercy is permitting the sodomites and the LGBTs to go around without correction, without being corrected, and showing the right path. Yahweh's sparing is showing us our sins and then giving us an opportunity to get it right. Now, Francis said not to be ashamed as a special treasure of the church. These so-called precious treasures are the ones they sodomize. Yahweh's special treasures are the ones he teaches and trains from it, and the ones, Yahweh's special treasures are the ones who are obedient to him, not the ones that are disobedient. On the altar we worship the flesh of Jesus and encounter his wounds. Now he's the spokesperson for the system that killed Yeshua, that actually murdered him, and then changed his name to Jesus, trying to hide this. Leading a godless life can lead you to hell, the Pope warned. No, it's leading a life worshiping perverted, sick, evil gods that's going to lead you to hell. That's what's going to lead you to hell. This is the exact opposite of what this house is teaching. It's absolute lies and it's garbage. It's all deception. The Pope said that God is a dreamer, and yes, their gods are asleep dreaming. As former Pope Benedict XVI said, God is asleep and we don't know what to do. He's dreaming. Yahweh isn't dreaming. I grabbed a dictionary and looked up Yahweh. I looked up Y-A-W-E-H and I didn't see anything. When I looked up Y-A-H-W-E-H, I actually found a definition. And even Google knows Yahweh is spelled Y-A-W-E-H. I suggest you get a better spell check. Or you can quit lying about the Creator's name and just be honest with the people and say it's spelled Y-A-H-W-E-H. But of course you won't, because this is the system of the people who... These are the liars. Their teacher is Satan, and she was a liar from the beginning and teacher of all the lies. The Pope finished his mass, by saying, "Dear brothers and sisters, let us pray to God with the hope that others will hear us. Their prayers aren't answered because they aren't praying to Yahweh. They're praying to their gods. They're trusting in their gods. They're hoping that their gods are going to save them. We can see this rebellious and disobedient system falling. The Pope's great swelling words of worthlessness aren't working. They're lies. This is the rebellious system that is trying to do away with these laws and resurrect the old Roman Empire. Now let's see an example of being obedient. To wrap this up, to see an example of someone who was obedient to the laws and see the reward. If you'll turn to Jeremiah 35, and Jeremiah 35, verse 5. "Then I placed pitchers and cups and put them before the sons of the house of Rechab and said to them, 'Drink some wine.' But they said, 'We will drink no wine, because Yonadab, son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, you must drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. You must not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor possess them, but all the days you must live in tents, so you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners.' And so we have obeyed the voice of Yonadab, son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us to do, to drink no wine, our wives, our sons, and our daughters." And if you'll go down to verse 18, it says, "But to the house of the Rechabites, Jeremiah said, 'This is what Yahweh of hosts said. This is what Yahweh of hosts, the father of Israel, says. Because you have obeyed the commandment of Yonadab your father and kept all of his precepts and performed all that he has commanded you, therefore this is what Yahweh of hosts says, the father of Israel, says. This is what Yahweh of hosts, the father of Israel, says. Yonadab, son of Rechab, will never lack a man to stand before me forever.'" We see in verse 17, "Behold, I will bring on Yada and its inhabitants of Jerusalem, all the disaster I pronounced on them." That's from their disobedience. Now, in closing, turn to Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. If you will be willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. Side note A says you will have peace. Look at verse 20. "But if you refuse and rebel, if you follow this system, the Vatican, in their evil, if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it." This is war. Side note B says war. Yes, if you refuse, you will be devoured by the sword. But if we're obedient, we will have peace, and we'll make it into the kingdom. And with this, if you'd all please stand. I'd like to turn the services over to the great Deacon Yeshua.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Thank you. My title today is Keys to the Kingdom. Again, my title today is Keys to the Kingdom. In today's world, we have information is at our fingertips. Between social media, Google, seems the news, everything. It's there. It's readily available. It's so easy to come by now. what you have is, most people just look up the information they want. They see a headline or a title, and that's what they take. They don't take the time to investigate or read the article or find the information. At that point, they're taking things at face value. And because of this, they don't get all the knowledge, they don't get all the facts, they don't get all the information. And what you have, just like the speaker before me mentioned, you have this deception that's entered the world. The world's deceived. As it says in Revelation 12:9, Satan's deceived the whole world. If you could be turning over to Hosea 4:6. That's Hosea 4:6. It's on page 686. Again, it's Hosea 4:6. And we're looking at the deception and the lack of knowledge here. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you will be no priest to me, because you have forgotten the law of Yahweh. I will also forget your children." Look at that. That right there, it says, because you have rejected knowledge. It's just like the world today. They've decided it's not important to read. It's not important to find the information. In this situation, it says that, here it says that Yahweh will reject you. Well, it's not Yahweh rejecting you. It's you've rejected the teaching. You've rejected your teacher. You're taking it upon yourself to think you know better and that you can figure it out on your own. So what are we supposed to do? We're commanded to search out the book of Yahweh and read. That says that in Isaiah 34:16. You don't have to turn there right now, but pastor's been harping on that for as long as I can remember. We're supposed to read the book of Yahweh. Isaiah 34:16. Search out the book of Yahweh and read. So we found the book of Yahweh. We're reading it. Is that it? Are we done? We found it. We're reading the book of Yahweh. Mission accomplished. Are we okay now? No, we're not. Because, again, just because we're reading the book of Yahweh, we need the guidance. We need to know. We need to know what it means. We can't just take it upon ourselves. So if you could turn over with me to Proverbs 3. I'm going to be on Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5, it's on page 497. And it says, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding." Not lead upon your own understanding. At this point, we should be starting to see that just because we found the book of Yahweh and we're reading, we still need something else. And continue on in this. Let's turn over to Acts. Acts chapter 8 with me, please. Acts chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. Acts 8, 30 and 31. It's going to be on page 848. So, at this point, we need a teacher. And in Acts chapter 8, Philip's talking about this very thing. So Philip, running up to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" So Philip's walked up on a man that's reading the prophet of Isaiah, and he's like, "Do you understand this?" And the man looked at Philip and said, "How can I unless someone guides me? How can I unless someone guides me? I need a teacher. We need a teacher. We need someone that's going to show us and explain these things to us." I'm going to tell you, we have that someone. That's our great pastor and overseer, Israel Bahawkins. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And recently, pastors told us repeatedly, in fact, a couple weeks ago, he harped on it, that we need to be studying. It's studying. We need to study. In fact, last week, during the presentation by the great queens of Yahweh, they said we need to be cramming for this exam. We need to be cramming for the exam. And another speaker last week mentioned the Peaceful Solution Character Education classes, the certification classes for the teachers. We need to be taking these seriously. We need to be taking advantage of them. We need to be in those classes. We need to learn so we can learn what to teach. In fact, speaking of learning what to teach, there's a banner that's been hanging up in the sanctuary for quite a while now. And there we go. This banner, hope everybody can see that. It says, "Learn what to teach and teach what you've learned." And there's a fine print on this banner. This banner, it's been up there since August 17th of 2013. I want you to think about it. It's been up there 4 years. Pastor's been offering these classes, and the part in the bottom of the banner, that's the fine print, it's part of a quote from the 13th book of Israel, chapter 6, verse 72, gold Purifying Gold, Part 2. And it says, and you will have no need of someone else teaching you because you're going to be a teacher or you won't be there. That's the thing. This is a one and only opportunity. You better take it while it's here. Jill, really think about that. This is a one and only opportunity. You better take it while it's here. You know, everybody keeps talking about this $36,000 tuition that's been waived. You go out in the world, you try to get taught something or learn a program that you would be able to be a certified teacher, you're paying money for it. Here at the House of Yahweh, the information is given by our teacher for free. We need to be taking advantage of these things. Praise Yahweh. But Pastor's trying to get us in these classes, involved in these classes he's offering. He's teaching us the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. So why the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program? I mean, why? I've heard people say that Peaceful Solution is for the world and that the laws of Yahweh are for us here at the House of Yahweh. I say that's not true. The Peaceful Solution helps us to simplify the teachings and understand the laws and be able to put it to work in our lives easier so we can quickly adapt to it when we get here and we can put it to work and we can be the example we need to be. As it says in the character unit, or the Peaceful Solution, on page 14, this is where the positive character traits, some of them, I think, are laid out. The first one that's laid out there is educated. Now, I'm not saying that that's the most important one, but it's there for a reason. Get educated. If you're not educated on these things and you're not sure what's going on, how are you supposed to understand? How are you supposed to be able to do the things we need to do? We need to be getting educated, studying the teaching from the House of Yahweh, studying what our great overseer, Pastor Israel Hawkins, is bringing forth, and he has put forth quite a bit. If you could turn to 2 Timothy 2:15 with me, please. It's on page 938, 2 Timothy 2:15. It's a very familiar scripture. I'm sure everybody knows it, but I'd like to rehearse it with you because this is something we look at, but we don't really take it seriously. It says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the law and the prophets. Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh. You're studying to show yourself approved to yourself. You're studying to make sure that you believe and you verify that you also believe. We're not taking things at face value. We're fact checking. That way, when it comes time to answer questions and know what we're supposed to do, we're not ashamed because we didn't know the answer. Oh, I thought this was the way it was. Well, nope, it wasn't. You're out of here. I don't want to be that person. The laws and the prophets. Yeah, we had to keep the laws, but we had to know the prophecies too. We need to know the prophecies. And the amount of materials, like I mentioned, that pastors put before us, the study materials. We've got the Book of Yahweh, got the study guide, prophetic words, IsraelSays.com, the sermon discs. All the books he's written up into, like Mark of the Beast, Unveiling Satan. Then the reference materials. And if you've read any of Pastor's books, the amount of references he makes to other things, such as, if you look at it, like Keys of This Blood, Two Babylons. I could list for a while. Then the materials like the Strong's Concordance, the Bible Dictionaries, and so on. The amount of references, and pastor's done the work for us. We just simply have to go fact-check pastor to make sure that we understand and we get it. And if we don't, we need to be getting with our counselors. We need to be definitely getting these things in our mind. So we need to be studying. That brings me to another quote. This is from the second book of Israel. It's chapter 2, verse 19, going on to perfection. And it says, it is only at his house that you are going to hear it. It is only from his house that you're going to have understanding. If you're not studying the inspired words coming from his house, you simply will not be counted in that kingdom that is going to reign. Now, look at that. If you're not studying the inspired words coming from his house, inspired words are coming from only one person. It's Israel Hawkins. He's the only one. Would you believe that studying is the work of Yahweh? We'd like everybody to quickly turn to page to Yochanan 6:29. 6:29. This is I want to show you that studying is part of the work of Yahweh. Yochanan 6:29, it says, Yeshua answered and said to them, "This is the work of Yahweh. You believe in whom he has sent. You believe whom he has sent." So if the one he sent said that you need to study to make it into the kingdom of Yahweh, then studying is part of the work of Yahweh. You're building your mind. You're building yourself up so that you can be a useful part of the body. Remember, do you believe all these things? Have you proved it all to yourself? Do you understand it? Can you explain it? If you can't answer yes to all these questions, you still have some studying to do. So in conclusion, the keys to the kingdom are: search out the book of Yahweh and read. Go to the place that Yahweh has placed his name. Believe into the one sent, the greatest teacher in the world. Keep the laws. Study to show yourself approved so you won't be deceived. And then at that time, we will all be teachers. And Yeshua Messiah will say, "Great job. Here is your key to the kingdom." And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. If you all please stand. I do introduce my brother, the great deacon in the house, great Deacon Samuel Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. Continuing where the great deacon left off, I didn't know he was going to talk about this, but it fits exactly with what I'm bringing out today. Law number 10, which is read, study, and meditate on the book of the law. And if you could turn to Psalms 1, verses 1, to start off. Psalms 1, 1. The great King David says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the unrighteous, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He shall be like a tree," verse 2, "but his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever this man does will succeed." So, in verse 1, King David says, "Don't do these things." And look down to verse 2, and he says, "Do these things." And we're going to focus on the word delight and the word meditate. And in verse 3, he shows you the result you get if you will listen. "Whatever this man does will succeed." Pretty great results. So the laws of Yahweh are written in this same format. 248 laws say, "Do these things." And 365 say, "Do not do these things." King David starts with the things you don't do first. And in that way, he kind of ties the end to the beginning, and the beginning to the end. The beginning to the end result, if you take his advice. Whatever this man does will succeed. So those two key words are like the hinges to open the door to the rewards in verse 3. Again, whatever this man does will succeed. So the word meditate is what we're going to focus on, and it ties in with the word delight because they kind of feed in one to another. When you read, study, and meditate on the laws of Yahweh, you begin to delight in them. You begin to rejoice in them. You find joy in them. And then, like a feedback loop, it causes you to want to study more, which leads to more delight, which leads to more study. So think about true unity. It's being in unity with Pastor. And so when you read, study, and meditate, use his words. Turn over to the 10th law of Yahweh. This is on page 987. And we'll read it. It says, read, study, and meditate on the book of the law. Now, reading is part of the key to understanding. When you read, you obey the one sent. Pastor. And you also obey law number 10. And so first comes obedience, then comes understanding. Something we all well know in that great house of Yahweh. So there are a lot of ways to read, and some of them include study and meditation. As a matter of fact, if you go and look in the dictionary under the definition of read, it will say examples like study and meditation. So sitting down and reading quietly is kind of a passive thing. You're sitting there, your eyes are scanning the page, and this is great. It helps a lot. It helps you to gain that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but we can get a deeper level of understanding with active study, taking notes, using reference books, and especially using pastor's words, the Israel Says program, even highlighting words and phrases, and especially following up in the notes in the margin, which, referring back to Psalms 1, blessed is the man who, it's got a little A by the word who, blessed is the man who always remembers that he is blessed to become one of the sons of Yahweh. And if you skip down a little bit, it talks about nor stands in the nor walks in the counsel of the unrighteous, which is Christian counsels, nor who sits in the seat of the scornful. And don't sit there. That's Satan's chair. So it could even include, study could even include making a drawing and coloring it to hang it in your house so that you have this great reminder. And then there's meditation. And what's your mental picture when you hear that word meditation? I personally think of somebody maybe sitting on the floor. They're just sitting there thinking really hard. And, you know, we think in pictures. And so it's very important to have the right mental picture to refer to. Let's be sure that our mental images are correct. And when I looked up the word in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's 1897. And here's a partial list of the meanings. Please do look it up for yourself as well. It means to utter a sound. From the base meaning of uttering a sound of any kind comes figure of meditation. The act of thoughtful deliberation with the implication of speaking to oneself. And it comes from a related word, 1899, moaning, mourning, a sound or tale, as in a story, related to meditation, which can include thinking and planning. And it also includes melody, device, meditation, or solemn sound. And so connect that back, this word meditation, to read, study, and meditate on the book of the law, because it's not just somebody sitting there kind of swaying and humming to themselves. It's actually speaking the words of Yisroel Hawkins out loud. That's the meditation that this law is referring to. And so the point becomes that reading and study are very, very important, as we all know. And just as important is speaking the law out loud. It's the most active way that you can study. Think about it. You're seeing the words. You're speaking the words. You're seeing it and you're saying it. You're hearing it as you speak. And if you use some hand gestures, you're kind of feeling it too. So a while back when I was having a pretty stressful time in my life, I felt that I wasn't getting the amount of study in that I really needed. I was rushing it. You know, sometimes the cares of the world will creep in. And so when your eyes are scanning the page, you're thinking in the back of your mind, did I turn the coffee maker off? Still trying to read. Did I take my chocolate honey and butter? You better have one more, just in case. And so it was a very stressful time in my life, and I wasn't really, I felt growing in wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And so I made a decision. I canceled an appointment, and I got the book of Yisroel, the next chapter that I was trying to read, and I decided that I was going to read every word of that sermon out loud and try to use pastor's tones, pastor's hand gestures, even try to tell the jokes like pastor tells them. And I did it. I preached a full sermon to all the microorganisms in my living room. And when I was done, it was like a weight had been lifted off of me. I could physically feel it. It was a wonderful feeling. And so I encourage you to try it for yourself. And you may say, well, I've already got, you know, my way that I study. Well, just think about it and think about getting pastor's words, copying him exactly, because when you do that, you're literally being in unity with the one sent. So I'd like to wrap it up with a couple of scriptures. This is Matthew 15:18. It says, but those things which proceed, this is the Savior's words, those things which proceed from the heart, they defile the man. Now, that's true. They can defile the man. But if you're speaking the words of Yisroel Hawkins, if you're reading the laws of Yahweh out loud, they can also purify the man, depending on the intent of your own heart. And so, let's finish by Proverbs with Proverbs 4, verse 23, which says, guard your mind, your heart, with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. And I'd like to thank you for your time and attention. We'll turn it over to the great deacon, Ananiah Hawkins.
Everyone, please be seated. I would like to respectfully request everyone's complete and undivided attention. We have a short video to open up from a very important person. Please listen closely. Video.
Here in Revelation 21, of course, we're in the time of the end right now, and we may as well cover some of those scriptures and see what I'm talking about here. But in Revelation 21:1, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, what would they be? Why? Well, because they're going to be destroyed. And of course, they're being destroyed now, and Yahweh is watching this, as he says, he's actually watching it through the firmament. And Yahweh is watching this, as he says, he's actually watching it through the firmament. And Yahweh is watching this, as he says, he's actually watching it through the firmament. The firmament is actually telling on everyone. Well, Christianity would want to destroy the firmament so it couldn't tell on them, I guess.
All right. And tying in with that, getting started quickly because we don't have much time, if everyone could please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 15. That is page 168 in the book of Yahweh. Page 168, Deuteronomy chapter 26. And starting off at verse 15. So, and bearing in mind everything that the great teacher was mentioning on their video clip, specifically the portion that was reiterated to grab our attention a few times, Moshe starts out saying, look down from your holy habitation, from heaven, and bless your people Israel, and the land you have given us, just as you vowed on oath to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey, which is, of course, a conversation in and of itself. But right here, the great prophet Moshe is indicating an ability on the part of our great father to actually look down from where he is in heaven and to observe the affairs of men, right? Not a common thing, and the question automatically becomes, well, how is something like that possible? And where did Moshe get it from? Well, of course, he got it from the scriptures. Some of the things that we can recall with regard to the great prophet Moshe is that he was regarded as a faithful man in all of Father Yahweh's house, and not leaning on our own understanding with respect to that. The apostle Shaul, I believe, was in 2 Timothy 2:2. He says, in these things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit these to faithful men so that they could teach others. Right. So this is the faithfulness that Moshe had. He, as the one of the great deacons brought out just prior to me speaking, that is, with regard to learning what to teach so you can teach what you've learned. This was Moshe. And this is what he was teaching. So in the same way, our great teacher is also, and following that same pattern, communicated this same ability of our great father to look down from where he is in heaven, and to observe everything that's taking place. Well, that faithfulness, of course, is rewarded by moments like these, where the words of our great teacher are confirmed once again. Science is catching up. And they have released this information, which confirms everything that the great prophet Moshe, and not just the great prophet Moshe, but our great teacher, has been telling us in these last days with respect to our Creator's ability to actually observe the affairs of men. Bacterial cells are actually the world's smallest eyeballs. Bacterial cells are actually the world's smallest eyeballs, right? And we know that these bacteria, they didn't just pop on the scene spontaneously because of some bang or something like that. Father Yahweh created them. They belong to him, right? They're his. And these bacteria are eyeballs, the scientists discovered. And reading this article, I don't know if we can get any closer so that you can see it yourself, but I will be reading it as well. Mm-hmm. It says, in a surprise discovery, I'll keep it, well, let me put it back over here, just in case you can. But in a surprise discovery, scientists have found that bacteria see the world in effectively the same way as humans, with bacterial cells acting as the equivalent of microscopic eyeballs. British and German researchers may define them by accident, they say, but of course we know it is not by accident. What it is prophetic, right? It's Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. The knowledge being increased, Father Yahweh said he would do it. And this offers opportunities for us to confirm the things that we're learning, right? So that we might believe. And all this belief should encourage us towards obedience. I forgot to get that part, didn't I? So the title of my sermon, right, is Yahweh is watching. Yahweh is watching. Obedience isn't a request, it's a law. Yahweh is watching. Obedience isn't a request, it's a law. Positive law, too, in fact. You can look at that for yourself when you have a moment. But now, and getting back into this article, it says British and German researchers made the finding by accident, but it was not by accident, when studying aquatic cyanobacteria, which sometimes form film, so on and so forth. We're going to have to graze through it. This was by Science Alert. This was produced by Science Alert. There's another one I wanted to read because there were several. It's not even like this is scientific conjecture or like it's speculative, anything like that. All of the major scientific news agencies released this article, and even the ordinary everyday news agency, MSNBC, right? Everybody respects the Peacock people. They released a report on it as well. They don't understand the implications of it. We do because of the teacher that we have, and that's a great blessing. That's a great blessing, right? But if I could find this other one, because it says something specifically that I wanted to mention. Yeah. Quick fingers. Okay, so this one came out from IFL Science. But it says, once again, starting out, let me put this one up there. Time flies, right? If you can see that. bacteria can actually see by acting like tiny eyeballs. Same thing, right? Once again, this was all of the agencies were releasing this. To them, it was just a peculiarity. They thought it was odd, maybe even a little bit funny. But for us, it's very serious because it helps us to understand the things that are written in Scripture. But it's starting out, it says, if you find it weird that your body, inside and out, is riddled with trillions upon trillions of bacteria, now imagine that all these microbes are teeny eyeballs watching every move. Well, that's not far from the truth. In fact, it is the truth, right? According to a fascinating and borderline creepy study, they say. Going down a little bit further, this one, they had an interview from a guy from the University of Freiburg and Queen Mary University. Interesting name, right? But then makes sense because that's who's responsible for the university system. But then it says essentially, bacteria are essentially the world's smallest and oldest camera eyes. Camera eyes is what they say. And this particular scientist says, I've been looking at cyanobacteria my whole career. His name was Conrad Mullinex. Until we made this discovery by accident, he's saying the same thing, but it was not accident, it was prophetic. It never occurred that they might be looking back. It made me think about them in a very different way. We underestimate these small organisms. They are very smart. Of course they are. Smart enough to run a planet. Smart enough to help run a universe. So, okay. One more article before going on to some more scriptures. In case anybody is curious as to whether or not they can recall what it is that they're seeing or they can hold on to it, you might find this of interest. Enable bacteria transformed into self-replicating biological hard drives. So they would like to replace the hard drives you have actually with microorganisms for their storage capacity and ability. How about that one, right? For whether or not they can recall and remember. This was also produced by, if I can get this other one. Let's see. That one has better info on it. Time. Okay, so this one came from Popular Science on the same subject. Biostorage scheme turns E. coli bacteria into hard drives, right? So it says just 1 gram. We know they can see, right? They're camera eyes. Just 1 gram of bacteria could store as much as 450 2,000 gigabyte hard drives in its DNA, right? Can they remember what they're seeing? Yes, they can remember a whole bunch of what they're seeing. It says right here, E. coli gets a bad rap, probably due to the violent illness that it induces, but a group of Chinese university students in Hong Kong have found a novel and potentially reputation-changing use for the bacteria, for bacteria data storage. The team has devised a way to encrypt. They didn't devise, they found it, you know, and they're trying to use it, and for gain at that. But the team has devised a way to encrypt and store information in the DNA of bacteria to such an effective degree that they say just 1 gram. So a teaspoon, there's 4 grams in a teaspoon. 4 grams in a teaspoon. And just 1 gram, so a portion of bacteria, and we're just absolutely swimming in them, a sea of microorganisms. There's other articles here where they're saying that there's more than they realized. Even with all the damage we've done in killing them off, there's still a higher calculation and amount of microorganisms present on the earth than they even suspected. But in just one fraction of them, right? In 1 gram, there's enough E. coli, it says right here, to store 452 terabyte hard drives, if that registers any closer. 450 of them. All right, so now, with that being said, let's go over to one more scripture. Because that went fast. Let's have that be Psalms 114. Well, not Psalms 114, pardon me. Psalms 11 and then 4. Psalms 11 and 4. And that's how I became 114, my mind racing. But okay, so Psalms 11 and verse 4. Psalms 11, verse 4. Get there fast. Looking at now. Psalms 11 and verse 4. And here goes the implications of this. Bearing in mind, once again, the title of the sermon, which is not just, you know, interesting information that confirms that Father Yahweh is looking and that he's watching. He has the ability, we know that now, factually, to do that. But obedience, because he's watching our works. Obedience isn't a request. Obedience is a law. Positive law number two. So, and starting off, it says, Yahweh is in his holy sanctuary. If you've gotten this on page 438, if you have not. Yahweh is in his holy sanctuary. Yahweh's throne is in heaven. Yet, Yahweh's eyes do see all. Yahweh's eyes do see all, right? And we know how that's possible now, factually. It's not like it's mythological or anything like that, or, you know, it's just speculation. We know factually now how that's possible. Yahweh's eyes do see all. His eyelids try the children of men. His eyes see all. His eyes see all things. He tests the children of men. Now, of course, the great teacher made a point with regard to that. You know, why, when this is all over said and done, what he said, and of course, we're on the sea of glass now, but when it's time for judgment, there's no need to go any further. You know, everything is already established because of what we're covering right here, right now. You know, Father Yahweh has been watching us the entire time. The microorganisms have been watching us the entire time. You cannot hide. The deepest depths of the sea, the hydrothermal vents, wherever you go to the tops of the mountains. You will find microorganisms, all with your tiny little bitty eyes, paying attention. Paying attention. Okay? So, all right. Let's get to this scripture. I just wanted to tie in this one scripture in the book of Yashub with Isaiah here. Yashub 34:23. Yashub, and we'll close on this. Yashub 34:22-23. Get there fast, Deacon. And 33, 34. Okay, let's see. And I'll start. It's on page 429. It says, there is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. And he has no need. He has no need to examine a man further when he comes before Yahweh for judgment. Everything is being paid attention to and everything is being recorded. Let's practice obedience to make sure what's recorded about us is righteousness. All right. Well, thank you for your time. I'd like to turn it over to the doctor of music, the great deacon, Michael Alsip Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, family of Yahweh, you may be seated. We're going to be continuing on dealing with obedience and the obedience that is required for us to be part of Yahweh's family. And if you remember, for your notes in Genesis 49:10, it says, the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff, lawgiver, from between his feet until he comes to whom tribute belongs. And the obedience of the nations is his. So you see here, obedience is required for even the kingdom to be established. So we're going to look at now the end result of disobedience. All right? The title of my speech today . The nations are preparing for war. If you would turn over to Yael 3:9, that's found on page 694, Yael 3:9, and it reads, proclaim this among the nations, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the warriors draw near, let them come up. Okay, turn a couple pages over to 708, Nehemiah 2:708, and in verse 3 it reads, the shields of his warriors are colored red, the valiant men are in scarlet, the chariots blaze like flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the cypresses will be terrified, shaken. And it says in verse 4, the chariots will rage in the streets, they will jostle one another on the broad roads. They will seem like torches. They will run like lightning. He will summon his bravest men. They will stumble in their march. They make haste to her walls, and their protective shield is in place, such as the THAAD system in South Korea and in other parts of the world where they're setting those things up and preparing for war. Because of disobedience to the teachings of Yahweh's house, to the disobedience of following the one sent and the laws of Yahweh. At this time, the nations are preparing for war. There's many, many people seeing throughout the world military equipment being moved into place, to prepare for war, more than they have seen in some cases since World War II. There's a website that I found that is a journalist, a freelance journalist, and a researcher who posts nothing on his website but military movement throughout the world. And it's all people send in pictures and videos they take of seeing trains being moved, seeing convoys being moved throughout the world, more now in the last 6 to 8 weeks than there's ever been. And so I just got a short list. This is just for the month of May, and this is just a short list. There was much more. Let me go through this a little bit. And this is because of disobedience to the teachings of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh that come forth from his house now and in the days of old. May 16th, South Korean military convoy loaded with heavy self-propelled artillery spotted heading towards North Korea border. May 15th, U.S. aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan departs from naval base in Tokyo to begin patrols. May 15th, 800 troops from the United Kingdom, 300 from France, and 400 from Germany deployed in Estonia. May 15th, South Korean military vehicle spotted around Seoul heading towards North Korea. May 14th, members of the 1st Battalion Regiment, Aviation Regiment, excuse me, leaving Fort Hood, Texas, heading for Kosovo for a 10-month deployment. Okay, it says here, China has begun air raid siren testing. It says here, the USS Santa Fe attack submarine armed with Tomahawk land missiles arrives in Japan. And that was May 11th. May 11th, U.S. Abrams tanks spotted in South Korea, ready to be moved by rail towards North Korea. May 9th, this is an interesting one. The USNS Britain, loaded with heavy military equipment, is heading towards Mexico. Reasons unknown. May 7th, ex-Army eyewitness says four trains carrying an entire armored combat brigade were headed towards South Florida. He says that's a deployment taking place. Four train loads, and these trains are not like short, they're long, and they usually have four engines pulling the entire load. May 6th, an amphibious assault ship, helicopter carrier, arrives at the naval base in southwestern Japan. May 3rd, another submarine with precision strike capabilities, the USS Cheyenne, arrives in Japan. Many people in the country have witnessed this taking place here in the United States, in the Carolinas, in Colorado, in Illinois, in California, Washington State, Florida. They're moving out towards the coast, being prepared to be shipped out where, you know, we know they're going to in and around the Great River Euphrates, but then soon it'll branch out from there. And this all comes from disobedience. This is the end result of disobedience. And some may think, well, you know, not being obedient to my mother or father, that's not going to cause, well, yes, it will cause a war. The end result will be a war. Well, not being obedient to that Kohana, that's not going to cause war. That's not why that, yeah, that's the end result. That's why it will take place. Well, not listening to that judge or that priest or pastor or the teachings, it all will end in war, total destruction. Disobedience leads to destruction. That's why it's so important that we become obedient to all those in authority. It may seem difficult at the time, but it's not. A person said to me once, well, I don't have a problem with that. My carnal mind does. And it's true. The carnal mind, it'll start barking at you. But if you put it down and say, no, I need to do this. This is right. This is what is commanded. This is what will help me overcome. And this is what's going to help Yahweh's kingdom be established in righteousness, not in disobedience. So we need to be prepared when the time comes, because we're going to be tested with it. When we're placed with a test in front of us where we're commanded to do something and obedience is required, it is required. And as the great deacon said, obedience is a law and it's a requirement for us to be part of Yahweh's great family. These are just some, and it's in since the beginning of the year, military equipment's being moved all over the country, being made ready for the wars that are going to take place. And even in Texas, we've seen trainloads and trainloads of military equipment being moved. One of the great deacons was heading into Abilene, and there was a trainload of tanks, and it went on and on. So he started filming with his phone, and it just so occurred, as he was filming it, he was playing the latest song CD from the Great House of Yahweh. The song In 1 Hour had started, and he sent it to me, and it was just so fitting to what's going on. And so at this time, would you please play the video?
Upon their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships in the sea were made rich through her wealth, for in 1 hour, 1 hour, notice what's coming, 1 hour, that means destruction, 1 hour, her destruction is come, 1 hour, destroyed, 1 hour.
Mankind goes along, living day by day, without even knowing that destruction's on the way. In 1 hour, mankind's destruction comes. There's no escape, they have nowhere.
As you can see, brethren, the wars are being set up. If you would turn over to Yeketzkah 7, that's found on page 630, Yeketzkah 7, and in verse 1 it reads, "The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, 'Also, son of man, this is what Father Yahweh says to the land of Israel. An end, the end is come upon the four corners of the land.'" If you'll look down to verse 6, "An end has come, the end has come, it has awakened for you. Behold, it has come." Look at verse 25, "Destruction comes, they will seek peace, but there will be none. There will be no peace for the wicked." Turn a couple pages over to Yeketzkah 12, and that's found on page 634. Yeketzkah 12, and verse 28. "Therefore say to them, this is what Father Yahweh says, none of my words will be prolonged, postponed any longer, but the word which I have spoken will be done, says Father Yahweh. As he has said, though it seems long, wait for it, but the waiting is almost over. And it's only through obedience to the one sent, to our counselors, the Kohanas, judges, supervisors, even if a child is set over you in the work, obedience is what? The key. Obedience is the key to the kingdom. And all the destruction is going to fall upon the children of who? Disobedience. Brethren, let us not be like the children of disobedience. Let's show Yahweh that we can be obedient in all situations. We can do it. We can do it. So may Yahweh bless you this great Sabbath day. Heed the words of the one sent and the messages coming from his house. If you'll all please stand. With great honor, I have the privilege to turn over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Yahshua Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. All right, the title to my sermon today is "Gather Together So That I Might Tell You What Has Befallen You in These Last Days." Look over to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. This is a scripture that Pastor covers often because it's very imperative for us to understand that these things were written well in advance. Before the foundations of the earth was ever laid, Yahweh's plan was there. Yahweh had everything laid out in advance, and there's nothing that comes to a surprise. And what we see here in these last days are the characteristics that Yahweh knew that a breeding program and an environment that had completely gone out of control would be present here among us in these last days. Here in Genesis 49, verse 1, he says, "Then Jacob called for his sons and said, 'Gather together so that I might tell you what will befall you in these last days.'" Does anybody have any doubt that we're in the last days? If you do, you're not keeping up with the prophecies. You're not understanding. All right, we're allowing our minds to be pulled in by the Follywood, by the foolishness of this world. Be very important. Be very diligent in understanding what's going on around us and before us. Pastor's giving us instructions on certain things, and a lot of times we ask why. Well, hopefully we can understand why. Hopefully we can start to understand the reasonings why these things are there. Why are we being instructed to do certain things and conduct ourselves in certain ways? Here in verse 3, we're just going to cover a few of these so we can see some of the sin and some of the things that took place and how they transferred to these last days. He says, "Reuben, you are my firstborn, the might and first of my strength, excelling in honor and exceeding in rank. Turbulent like water, you will no longer excel, for you went into your father's bed. You defiled it." All right? Things we see taking place today. This has led down to this last generation. "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence." Right? And Pastor covered this weapons of violence. It's nuclear bombs. It's what we see. That's the end result of what he was showing them at this time. It says, let me not enter their council. Let my glory not be joined to their assembly. For in anger they killed a man. For in pleasure they hamstrung an ox." All right? They did these things for pleasure. They did these things not being able to control their emotions. They did these things without having the ability to apply what they had actually been taught by the priest of Yahweh. Here in verse 10, we're going to see something, a little light, a little hope, a little glimmer. This is what Yahweh said would be with us in these last days also. "The scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff from between his feet, until he has come who tribute belongs and the obedience of the nations is his. Tethering his donkey to the vine, tethering his donkey to the colt, to the choicest branch, he will wash his garments in wine and he will wash his robes in the bloods of grapes." All right? Tethering. That's unity. Bound. It means to be in agreement with. Right? To be in agreement with the choicest branch. Choosing to do what he says. Even if we don't think we see it in the law of Yahweh, wait. We will. Right? Knowledge is great, but knowledge without wisdom is almost useless. It creates destruction. Look over to verse 27. This is the one I'm going to hit on most here. "Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In morning he devours the foe, and in the evening he divides the plunder." Ravenous wolf. All right, what's the first thing that probably pops into your mind? All right, it's probably the words of Yeshua Messiah, all right, talking about the Catholic teachings, talking about the preach of this world, the things we see in this world. All right, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. All right, that's what he was talking about there. Well, here's part of what he was talking about. He just wasn't talking about, you know, like the story of Little Red Robin Hood or whatever her name was, you know, her grandmother was dressed up as a wolf or the wolf was dressed up as the grandmother and the deception was there. That's a cute little story for the world. This is what Yahshua was trying to instruct us. This is a character trait that we can notice and that we can see inside this world that was created from the sins from long ago, passed down from generation to generation because no one was there to teach him how to stop it for 2,000 years. Ravenous, all right? In verse 27, the word ravenous means to be hungry, very eager or greedy for food, satisfaction, or gratification, right? Mostly that's self-gratification. All right, wolf. All right, most people think of this. Any of several large predatory canids that live and hunt in packs. That's very important. Understand, part of their character traits is they hunt in packs. And they resemble dogs, all right? That's what most people think of when they think of a wolf, all right? Here's the second definition, and this is from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It's a fierce, rapacious, that's living on prey, all right? So living on prey or destructive person. So it's a rapacious or a destructive person living on prey, preying on others around you. A man forward, direct, zealous, and amatory attentions to women. All right? All right? Amatory, that pretty much means sexual. All right? That's what it means. It's talking about desires. All right? And you hear pastor talking about dogs. All right? The character traits, dogs. The dog returns to his vomit. We see the characters of this world. We see the men. We see the sodomites. We see the bestiality. We see all these different things taking place. This is what the prophecy was talking about that we would see inside these last days. Going after these unlawful lusts, allowing these things to completely take over and consume our minds. I'll be turning over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start here in verse 1. And this is a very perilous time, all right? Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times will come, all right? So we know this is the last days. We discussed that. We understand these things, all right? For men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Lovers of themselves, ravenous wolves, all right? And they will be covetous, boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Remember the scripture that says without natural affection, they're brute beast. Brute means to force, all right? They're forceful. They force what they want on others. To make us weak, all right? This is a footnote I put in here. It says to make us weak and not serving one another. That's what this whole attitude creates. It makes us spiritually and mentally weak to where we don't serve one another. In verse 4, traitors, betrayers, headstrong, arrogant, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of Yahweh, having a form of holiness, but denying the authority of it, from such turn away. All right, having a form of holiness. Many times there's people among us, they have a form of holiness, but it's not the character that Yahweh is looking for. Right? We may preach righteousness sometimes. We may understand that there is the law of Yahweh. Right? Many people understand that Saturday is the Sabbath. It doesn't mean they're keeping the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath are the people here, the people that are watching, the people who are actively participating and upholding and serving one another upon the Sabbath day. That's learning to write and apply the law, and we'll cover that later also. For they are the sort, in verse 6, for they are the sort who creep into the house of Yahweh and lead away silly women who are loaded down with sins and captured by various lusts. And this is not talking about silly women. This is talking about unlearned individuals. People who know the law, but they don't apply it. They don't know how to apply it because every tool that Yahweh offers us to be able to apply the wisdom is pushed to the side. All right? Every opportunity we have is gone because they misuse or misinterpret the teachings from Yahweh's house. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right? Always learning the laws, but never able actually to be able to understand exactly what this law is and how can I apply it in my own life. All right? Be turning over to 1 Kefa. 1 Kefa chapter 2. 1 Kefa chapter 2, and verse 1. We have to beware of this behavior. But there are also false prophets among them, among the people then, just as there will be false prophets and teachers among you. What's a false prophet, a false teacher? Right? Lies, scriptural lies. Someone who teaches you, or someone who asks you the question, did Yisrael Hawkins actually say that? Does the law actually say that? I know Yisrael Hawkins teaches that, but do you see that in the law of Yahweh? Is that stuff in the world actually defiled? Should we really shake the dust from our feet? You know, should we actually be not hanging around foolishness in the world? Should we learn to avoid having cliques and things we do on our own, going to parties and other things? Should we? You false prophet. Who will secretly bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Redeemer who brought them. Who bought them and bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their destructive ways, and because of them the way of truth of evil will be evil spoken of. And in their covetousness they will exploit you with feigned, that's fashioned, made up words. And their condemnation will linger, and their destruction will not slumber. And then did not spare the ancient world. So Yahweh didn't spare the ancient world. So here he goes into comparing, all right? Pastor covered something the other week, and he covered something about mercy, all right? A huge misconception about what mercy is, all right? The world has an idea, and sometimes we even get the same thing, that mercy is allowing somebody to get away with something, all right? We never get away with something. If we commit sin willingly, unwillingly, there's consequences that come with it. There's no way around it. And if he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood of unrighteousness to those who were lawbreakers. All right, this was being showed mercy. Yahweh, right there at that moment, showed mercy to us. If he wouldn't have stepped in and stopped the sin that was so prevalent at that time, there would not be a last days. He had to step in and make sure that this plan was successful. That's mercy. The same thing in these last days. Nuclear destruction is coming. Mankind's going to destroy themselves. The mercy that Yahweh is going to show is allow them to see what sin actually brings and allow us to teach them, this is the way, walk you in it. In verse 10, he says, especially those who walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, presumptuous and self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. All right, now these are behaviors that we see, characteristics we see from these type of believers because they haven't fully converted. They haven't been fully converted. They haven't allowed Yahweh's house to actually shape them and mold them and create them into the image that Yahweh wants us to be. But these are natural brute beasts in verse 12. Natural brute beasts made to be captured and destroyed speak evil of things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the reward of the unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure at riot in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, reveling in their own deceptions while they feast with you at Yahweh's feast of love, having eyes full of adultery. Remember that definition for ravenous wolf? Right? Having eyes full of adultery and who cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, having a mind expertly trained in covetous practices, cursed children. Look over to verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the laws that was delivered to them. All right, be turning over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, start in verse 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 4. Look at verse 5. He says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, that is wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is the first priority. To get wisdom, and with all that you have gotten, get understanding. Exalt her wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor and embrace you. She, wisdom, provides an ornament of beauty for your head, the kippah, and she will bestow a crown of glory upon you. All right, that crown of glory upon you, that's the position being offered to us in the kingdom of Yahweh. All right, now this is a quote that I came upon, and this is very fitting. You know, Pastor constantly talks about the knowledge of the world. Knowledge has been increased. All right, knowledge has been increased throughout the world, but the one thing that has not been increased in the world, wisdom. Knowledge without wisdom is very dangerous. Without wisdom, all right, this is a quote, without wisdom, knowledge is more stupid than ignorance. And that's what we see inside the world. Men, all right, remember the book of Yeshub, Isaiah 59, the prophecies that talk about men groping around in the darkness, all right? They're unable to find any answers to the problems. There's no solutions to their problems. It's because their ears are darkened. They're expertly trained in covetous practices. All right, be turning over to Deuteronomy chapter 14. So we're going to take a little bit of knowledge here, a knowledge of the law of Yahweh, and we're going to add a little bit of wisdom. And we're going to have some examples, if I have enough time, to make sure that we understand exactly what the prophets understood, how they taught these things, and how those who didn't listen to the one sent, they fell short of what they were required to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 4, says, these are the animals you may eat. All right, and we're just going to read them off. All right, these are the animals you may eat. All right, the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the mountain goat, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. And you may eat every animal that has a split hoof completely divided and also chews the cud. However, of those that chew the cud or of those that have a split hoof completely divided, you may not eat these, the camel, the rabbit, or the coney. Although they chew the cud, they do not have a split hoof. They are unclean for you. The swine, the pig, is unclean for you. Although it has a split hoof, it does not chew the cud. You must not eat their meat nor touch their carcasses. These you may eat of all that are in the waters. You may eat all of those, both fins and scales. So that's pretty simple, right? Right. This is clean. This is unclean. Very simple. That's knowledge, right? You can see, right? Pick a fish up out of the water. It has fins and scales, right? That's clean, right? Right? All right. Now let's add wisdom to it. Look up at verse 3. You must not eat any abominable thing. What's abominable? All right. The word abominable, all right? Right? That means that something can spread disease. Something can defile something else, all right? Many times pastors warn us about going into this world. Does a cow have a split hoof and chew the cud? Yes, of course. Does that mean that every cow in this world and served in every restaurant is clean for me to eat? I'm a fool if I think so, because I must not eat any abominable thing. Mad cow disease, the things we've been warned about, the things that we have been taught for decades, these things are abominable. And if we take them into ourselves, we not only defile ourselves, but we defile the people around us. We must have wisdom in order to apply the law of Yahweh. No, the law doesn't say you must not go and eat these animals that have prions. That's what the one sent that Yahweh taught us in these last days sent to us and instructed us how to properly apply the law of Yahweh in these last days. You can have knowledge of everything, all right? You can have knowledge, the knowledge of the laws of Yahweh. And one of the deacons was talking about the difference between, you know, the laws of Yahweh and the peaceful solution, all right? The laws of Yahweh, you can have knowledge over it. The peaceful solution is the wisdom you use and learn how to apply the law of Yahweh, right? Because I can be taught how to do something, but if I don't know how to actually apply it and learn to practice it myself by using the peaceful solution, I'll never accomplish it. I will never learn to stop sinning if I don't learn to control my emotions, if I don't learn to speak respectfully, if I don't learn responsibility and how to deal with certain situations. All those things teach me how to apply the law that Yahweh showed me in these last days. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 24. And this is the prophecy, all right? Remember, you just cannot take the law of Yahweh. You have to do what? The laws and the prophets. These things are used for us here in these last days. If you try to take one without the other, you're going to fall short. Isaiah chapter 24. Behold, Yahweh makes the earth empty and makes it waste, perverts the face of it and scatters abroad its inhabitants. And it will be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the owner, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with him who takes usury, so with him who gives usury to him. The land will be utterly emptied and utterly plundered, for Yahweh has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away, the world mourns and fades away, and the haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants of it because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Because of this, the curses devour the earth, and they who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The things we see in this world, right? I do a lot of teaching. I do a lot of different classes and stuff dealing with people, you know, and training animals and stuff. And the only thing that's consistent is 100% of the time, every behavioral issue brought on by an animal was created by humans on emotions. A human thought, this is the way it should be done, right? They try to treat animals like humans, and they defile them in the process. They try to teach them in a way that wasn't supposed to be taught, right? They're different. There's a different genetic makeup. There's completely different things. Breeding processes, they all take the same process. But there's different ways to teach different things. And you have to understand that, no, I can't treat an animal like a human. Or I'm going to create some type of behavior that's going to become destructive. These animals are going to lash out. These animals are going to attack. These animals are going to kill. These animals are just going to do certain things that the mankind has created upon themselves. And that's what you're always talking about here. Not just with, you know, pets or anything like that, but the defilement of the beef, the defilement of, you know, you can go fishing, you know, and you can go to certain lakes around here, you know, and you can pull out every fish. Every fish you pull out of that lake is going to have parasites on it. Now, did that fish have fins and scales? Yes. But if I didn't know the wisdom that Yisrael Hawkins taught me in order to investigate and look at that fish and see, hey, that thing actually has white parasites inside there on the red gills. That's not edible. All right? If we didn't have that, we didn't have the one sent teaching us those things, we would defile ourselves. Be on guard. Be on guard. Be always, always applying what's righteous and what's unrighteous. 1 Samuel chapter 15. All right? And let's see somebody that didn't follow the example taught to them. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Starting in verse 1. Samuel. Now, in Samuel's day, he was the one that was sent, and he was sent to deal with Saul. And he said to Saul, Yahweh sent me to anoint you king over this people, so you listen to these words from Yahweh. This is what Yahweh Almighty says, I will punish what Amalek did to Israel when they ambushed them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and utterly destroy them. All they have, do not spare. Kill both man, woman, infant, and nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Okay, very, very specific instructions for a reason. Now, did Saul do it? He thought he did. Listen to his pride. But Shaul and his men spared Agag, along with the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and everything that was, this is in verse 9, everything that was of superior quality. And they were unwilling to utterly destroy, however, everything despised and weak, that they utterly destroyed. All right, remember ravenous wolves? Right? Remember the mentality they have? They work in packs and they prey on what? They prey on the weak. Those scripturally unlearned. Everything despised and weak, they utterly destroyed them. But everything that looked nice and healthy and they could use for themselves, they spared them. Then the word of Yahweh came to Samuel saying, I am deeply grieved that I have made Saul king, for he has turned away from following me and has not performed my commandments. This also grieved Samuel and cried out with Yahweh all night. Then when Samuel rose early the next morning to meet with Saul, it was told to Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. He's pretty proud of what he did. He thought he'd done the right thing, right? Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of Yahweh. I have performed the commandment of Yahweh. But Samuel said, What then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? If you did everything that the one sent told you to do, then why am I hearing this noise in the background? Right? If we're doing the commandments, why are we sitting in the restaurant eating? Why are we sitting in the bar on Friday night drinking beer? Why are we doing these things we know we shouldn't be doing? And Saul said, They have brought them. Oh, it wasn't me. It was those guys. I kept the law. From the Amalekites, because the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to Yahweh your father, the rest we have utterly destroyed. Oh, I made sure we destroyed the rest of them. I kept my part, but these people, they didn't listen to me. They didn't do what I asked them to do. Then Samuel said to Saul, Cease speaking. You know, you could hear the frustration, you know. And, you know, today it's what we hear us saying, just shut up, all right? I can't even listen to your excuses right now. The iniquity is just a horrible sound in my ears. He says, Cease speaking, then I will tell you what Yahweh said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. All right, look down in verse 22. Then Samuel said, Has Yahweh as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and listen to the fat of rams. Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is the same as iniquity. And God worship, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned because I have transgressed the commandment of Yahweh and your words, because I was more afraid of the people and I gave in to them. Iniquity. He wasn't confessing. He wasn't saying I did wrong and I'm going to repent and convert. He was saying I did this because of those people. Adam, I did this because of my wife. I did this because of them. The devil made me do it. You know, the same excuse for generations. Now please pardon my sin and return with me so that I may worship Yahweh. Let's just overlook this little mistake I made and let's go back to everything and be just fine. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you because you have rejected the word of Yahweh and Yahweh has rejected you from being king over Israel. He thought he knew the law of Yahweh. Those animals were clean, right? The law says they were clean. The one that was sent to them told them they were defiled. They needed to be destroyed. Everything needed to be destroyed. He was trying to show true mercy according to the laws of Yahweh so the rest of the people were not defiled by it. But his own emotions allowed him to choose to sin. Law number 17. A king must acquire and what to the law? Apply. All right? We must learn to apply the law. I can study the law 24/7. If I don't have someone there to teach me on how to apply it, I will never accomplish my goal. There has to be someone there to teach us. We have to be able to submit ourselves to the one teaching us and learn how to apply the things he's taught. then we'll have true success. Then we will have a true kingdom of priests and those who are part of the priesthood governing an entire world. The work's just beginning. Right? This is just the time where we're training, we're proving ourselves to be able to start the job being given to us. We have a future of converting an entire universe. If we can't handle the stress now, we're not going to handle it then. We have to learn to apply these things that's being taught to us according to the laws of Yahweh in unity with each other. If you'll all please stand, I have the great privilege to turn the services over to the great Kahan Kenneth Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to go ahead and continue on in this same subject here. The title of this lesson is Guard and Keep This Way. Guard and Keep This Way. Some real great words that we've learned from our pastor and overseer, and that we're still learning what to do in order to guard and keep this way. Now, this lesson is like a building up to the Feast of Pentecost because, you know, like the other speakers mentioned about being in one accord, being in this unity, that's being obedient. That's not being disobedient. That would be as the world is. Okay, so what I did was I broke it down into like three subjects as to what we would need to do in order to learn to guard and keep this way. And the first is, of course, to make the choice to choose righteousness, then to put forth the effort, you know, which required the determination to do the things to fulfill that choice, and, of course, the repetition that it takes in order to actually perfect it. Okay? So if everyone would please turn over to page 173, Deuteronomy 30:19. A very, very familiar scripture that Yahweh points out to us. And if you listen to it, okay, let's go ahead and cover it. Okay, 30:19, I call heaven and earth, and like Pastor has taught us, the kingdoms of heaven and earth, as witnesses against you this day, you and I, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are all free agents to make your own choice. We all have the ability to make the choice, even when we wake up in the morning, what we're going to do that day, how we're going to plan things out. Okay, to make your own choice between righteousness and evil. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live. Now, if you look at the first part of that verse, it's actually talking about Yahshua and Pastor, okay? Because if you look at the kingdoms, who is ruling Yahweh's kingdom in the heavens? Yahshua Messiah. Now, who is ruling Yahweh's kingdom on earth? It's Pastor, the one that he has sent in order to teach us, okay, what it takes to guard and keep this way, okay? So let's, now this scripture was read earlier, but let's turn over to page 43. Another familiar scripture that we're going to have to set some groundwork on. Chapter 49, verse 11, speaking of this last day's work and what's required in order for us to be a part of this last day's work. Okay, so Genesis 49:11, showing this work of Yahshua and also Pastor in the last days. Okay, tethering his donkey to the vine, tethering his donkey coat to the choicest branch, he will wash his garments in wine, he will wash his robes in the blood of grapes. And we know that this work of the apostles is all in there. You know, this tethering of his donkey to the vine. You know, that's Yahshua had that specific work whenever he was here on earth. And, of course, we're falling right behind that work. We have that as part of our foundation, the actual work of the apostles and the prophets. Okay? And then tethering his donkey's coat, which is us, to the choicest branch, which is Pastor. It's all easy for us to see because we've been taught it. Okay, but what we're going to have to do is learn how to teach it to others just in the same way that we have learned it. Remember, like it was brought out earlier, you know, the banner. You know, we must first learn what to teach in order so that we can go out and teach what we've learned in that way. You know, not changing it or throwing any curves in. Okay? Now, Genesis 49:1, just like Pastor has always taught us, this is for the last days. This is for this work in the last days, to work with Pastor and Yahshua. Okay? All bringing us into this unity. So let's turn over to page 923 in the book of Philippians, 923, because what we're going to do also is we're going to also go over some examples that we see in the scriptures. Okay? So page 923, Philippians 3, we're going to start in verse 17. And, of course, this is the Apostle Shaul. Brothers, be followers together with me. This is the same example that Pastor is teaching us today. We have to be followers of Pastor Yeshua Hawkins, the one that Yahweh has sent, in order to become as one in unity with Yahweh through the laws and the prophets. Okay, and mark, now look what he says here, and mark those who walk after the pattern we have set before you. Just think about what the priest just spoke about. You know, there's a lot of people that's got knowledge, but do they have wisdom? No. You know, if they think that just because an animal is clean, you know, deemed clean through the law, that it's okay for that person to eat. No. You know, what does the law say also? That we have to examine these things to see if the animal is fit. Okay, so continuing on. So for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the sacrifice of Messiah. Just like Hebrews says, you actually trample Yahshua's blood underfoot. You know, when you come and you receive the knowledge and the wisdom of Yahweh from the house of Yahweh, and then turn tail and run. You know, it's terrible, you know, to see these things take place. And we got to guard ourselves, to guard and keep this way so that it doesn't become defiled. Okay, the way of Yahweh. Okay? Okay, so continuing on in verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God El is their belly, who glory in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. They didn't have the spiritual things, the law, you know, like pastors taught on in their mind. If they did, they'd still be here. Okay, but our citizenship is in heaven, out from which we also eagerly wait for our ruler, Yahshua Messiah, the King, who will change our body of humiliation that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, to become in that great image that we see from the testimony of Yahshua Messiah. Okay? According to the exertion of that power which enables him, okay, to subdue all things unto himself. And that word subdue, 5293, it means to subordinate. It means to obey. It actually means to be in an order. Because some of the definitions were actually talking about in a way of rank and file. Okay? So, continuing on. So, let's look at effort. Okay? That's the second thing, effort. Okay, let's go to back over to Acts 9. Acts 9 on page 849. Keeping all of this in mind, the effort and the determination that we must put forth in order to qualify to become teachers of righteousness. Okay, page 849, Acts 9. There's plenty of examples that we can see here. You know, and this is the Apostle Shaul. Okay, let's look first at verse 6. You can see in verse 6 when he was called. Okay, in verse 18, you can see that, you know, after his calling, he was given specific instructions. And then Chananya was the one that actually baptized him. So this pattern fits us. Okay, we came to the house of Yahweh. We were called, we were begotten through this message brought forth by Yisrael in order to come to the house of Yahweh, being baptized. And then look at verse 19. And after he had eaten some food, and of course, we know that this food is the spiritual food, he was strengthened. Then Shaul remained many days with the disciples who were at Damascus. Now look at Pastor's side note there. So let's turn to page 910, Galatians 1:16. Okay, page 910, Galatians 1:16. It's like what Pastor shows us here. It doesn't take place overnight. We have to be educated. Okay? Where was it at now? I lost my place here. Let's see here. Okay, 1:16. Yes. Okay. Now, 1:16, to reveal, remove the veil or covering of his son within me so that I might preach him among the heathen. I did not immediately teach any man of flesh and blood. Okay, one moment. Let's see here. Okay, let's see where we are. Okay, it's Acts 9. Okay, it's 49. Let me look at something real quick here. Okay. Galatians 1:16. Okay. Well, what it is look at the side note that Pastor Hosea. You know, that is, he did not go out preaching. You know, I mean, there was some time involved, you know, before he was able to be qualified in order to teach what we're learning to teach right now. Okay. And once he became qualified, then, you know, as we are today, you know, then we can be given assignments to go forward and bring forth this message. Okay, now, let's look at, those were examples, okay, so let's look in the effort. Let's look at the repetition. Let's look at page 888, okay, 888, 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 17. Okay, for our work is to learn what to teach so that we can go ahead and teach others. For we are the laborers together of Yahweh. You are the tillage of Yahweh. Now that word tillage means cultivated, as in land being cultivated. Okay, the house of Yahweh, according to the mercy Yahweh has given me as a wise chief architect. I have laid the foundation and another builds upon it. But let every man be careful how he builds it. You know, we have to guard and keep this way, the way in which we've been taught to go out. So one other thing I wanted to cover here is actually in the book of Yisrael, the fourth book of Yisrael, Reverencing Yahweh, page 124. Okay, and this is something I encourage everybody to come to the workshops, you know, because at the workshops, you're going to learn and you're going to grow. You know, if you don't come to the workshops, you don't keep the Sabbath properly. Okay, now look at the note down at the bottom. I'd like to read the whole thing for you. What would be great if you have the opportunity to read verses 105 all the way to the end of the sermon at 114. There at the bottom, Pastor makes this notation. There is nothing wrong with following Yahweh's servants. There has never been anything wrong in following Yahweh's servants. In fact, that is the only way into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, if you don't follow Yahweh's servants, you won't make it into the kingdom of heaven. This has been true from Abel down to our present time. And if we don't see this and know that if we say things that pastor doesn't know this or that does, you know, it's all foolishness. You know, we have to be able to learn what to teach, and then go forward and teach what we've learned. So with that, I have the great opportunity, if everyone would please stand, to turn it over to a great priest in the great house of Yahweh, the great Kohan, Bezalel Hawkins. Praise God.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's really awesome and amazing to hear, beginning of Sabbath evening law class, how all of these lessons start to dovetail together, and you hear this message and these lessons resonating with everything. And the last speaker, I just wanted to pick up with a point that he left off on. You know, sometimes we hear complaints about the way something is done in the house of Yahweh. Well, Pastor gave us some sound advice, gave me some sound advice recently to all of us. And he said, just to paraphrase, keep control. Don't let your words of vengeance come out of your mouth and turn the minds of those who hear you. Wait a while and you'll find you are wrong. And I've had that experience many times personally, where sometimes I opened my mouth and regretted it, and sometimes I did not open my mouth and regretted it privately, and repented before Yahweh, because I recognized with just a little bit of knowledge, you know, that came out in a sermon or a topic, I realized that I was wrong. In this lesson, this afternoon, you're going to see how belief and obedience are inseparable. Therefore, I've entitled this, If We Believe, We Must Therefore Obey. Please turn with me over to Exodus chapter 4. Here in Exodus chapter 4, in verse 1, we see an example where Moshe is being tested. And then Moshe answered and said, Yahweh's got a job for him to do here. And he says, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? Suppose they say, Yahweh has not appeared to you. And in verse 5, now Yahweh gives him instructions. And he says, this will be so they may believe that Yahweh, the mighty father of their fathers, the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac, and the father of Jacob, has appeared to you. Now, before this took place, Moshe had already made a choice to believe in Yahweh. Let's look to Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 24, we see that Moshe, as a young man, he made a choice to believe and to obey Yahweh. By the faith, Moshe, when he became of age, so he's a young man here, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What would you rather do, Moshe? You want to go over here with these people who are being persecuted and everybody thinks they're nasty people and living with dogs, or would you rather drive this new car off the lot? You know? Moshe, you know, he was faced with the best education in the land, with wealth and riches, and he made this choice, esteeming the reproach of a saint greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And haven't you heard pastors speak those words before, that he was pleased to receive persecution, to be spat upon, rather than to give in to sin? For he was looking to the recompense, or the compensation of the reward. Motivated by the faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for as though seeing the invisible one, he endured. You know, We see what Moshe chose as a young person, and today the children are faced with a great challenge. There's more information and choices available to them than in previous generations through the internet and the media and so forth is put in front of them all the time. But many of these choices are brought forth in an environment in this world of lawlessness. But they must learn to make right choices based on knowledge and right understanding for a positive outcome. And this is what we teach them in the Peace of Solution Character Education Program. Like Moshe did here, he didn't always understand what Yahweh was doing or was going to accomplish through him, but he believed the outcome would be beneficial. Now, he had his struggles, and he fell down a few times, but for the most part, he followed his vow. He kept his vow to Yahweh. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter, and we see examples of our forefathers who were tried and tested. And if you read many of these cases here, you'll see that they were given things to do that maybe didn't make sense at first. You know, like Noah, building this ark, this boat, far from water, and every one of the people around him criticizing and finding fault with what he's doing and how he's doing it. Well, if you're going to build a boat, you should do it this way, you know. But they didn't have the big picture in mind. And sometimes Yahweh only reveals that to the one sent. Well, he only does reveal it. That's the pattern. Now, here in verse 13, in the face of these examples, all of these died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were convinced of them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Now, I would like to look at this word, the faith. This is the Greek word 4102 in Thayer's, and it means of conviction or belief, being convinced, or belief respecting man's relationship to Yahweh, in regards to Yahweh, man's relationship to Yahweh. This conviction or being convinced is the quality of showing that one is firmly convinced of what one believes or said. And we've had messages this afternoon explaining to us how we can buckle down and build ourselves up to this knowledge and belief. Believing is being convinced and acting accordingly. And we've heard this message resonating throughout this afternoon. It's actually overcoming by practicing. That's actually in the meaning of the word. Believing is overcoming by putting into practice. They believed this world was passing away. They knew that this isn't where it was all at, that they had something greater in store in Yahweh's promise. And all the things in this world that are not of Yahweh are passing away. Let's look over then to 1 Kefa. 1 Kefa chapter 1 and verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the former lusts you had when you lived in ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, so you also become holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work, conducting yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in reverence. And just to paraphrase, in 1 Corinthians 7, 29 and 31, he tells us there, what I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. And those who use the things of this world as though they had no dealings with it, For this world in its present form is passing away. So how do we accomplish this belief coupled with obedience? Well, simply put, it's by reading, studying, meditating, and becoming convinced of these things, and then, of course, by doing. The word read, from its early origins of this word, besides, you know, reading like reading a book and like it was described to us earlier, also means to advise, interpret, such as a dream or riddle or a prophecy, like we do when we study with the one sent. When we read the inspired lessons and we let these sink into our thoughts and our thinking, and we learn from that, and we see the explanations of prophecies. The word study is Strong's, again in the Greek 4704, just simple definitions, means to be diligent, to exert oneself, make haste, make effort, that is, you actually have to consciously put forth effort to accomplish these things, to labor, and of course, study. So, brethren, it's mandatory that you make yourself humble and teachable. It's our duty, the whole duty of the called out ones. As it says in Ecclesiastes 12:3, just to summarize, reverence Yahweh by keeping his laws, for this is the whole duty of man. For Yahweh will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is righteous or whether it is evil. And just a quick note, over in Romans chapter 9, do you remember the story about the clay and the potter in verse 20? But who are you, O man, to criticize Yahweh? Should that which is created say to him who created it, why have you made me this way? Look at the side note, W9. Yahweh has so much more power over his creation, his creatures, to appoint one vessel, namely the believer, to honor, and another, the unbeliever, to dishonor. And finally, that word meditate means to imagine, use your mind to think, to speak, like we're doing today, to study, to learn, to teach what you've been taught, to talk, even to sing and rejoice. And of course, we can't go far without going to Yochanan 6 and verse 27 through 29. Yochanan 6, page 821. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for that food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give to you, because Yahweh the Father has sealed him. Then they said to him, what must we do that we might work the works of Yahweh? And Yahshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Yahweh, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Or that you believe into, that is, getting involved in this work, taking it into yourself, into him who he has sent, joining with the witness, the overseer, our teacher, and being in unity with him. Now, to follow up on this, I'd like to read from the 10th book of Israel, the first volume, chapter 11. This is on page 102. And this is an excellent example where Pastor uses an example of the sacrifices which were required of former works of the house of Yahweh, but not required in this time period. And he goes through and explains this. And it's an excellent example of showing how the way we do things in this time period and the way Pastor guides us is for this time period. And I think there's some confusion at times when people look to the scriptures to say, well, I want to be spiritual like in the days of Moshe. And though that's an honorable desire, we must realize that this is a unique work. This is a work that Yahweh has prepared. It took Yahshua and then Yahshua now inspiring this work, bringing those two together to bring this final conclusion to Yahweh's plan, or really setting it up for the great and awesome beginning of Yahweh's plan with mankind to take peace throughout the universe. So here in page 102, the 10th book of Israel, now he gives an example of this Hollywood holiness, you know, with the hands and the eyes to the ceiling, and that's not belief, okay? It's not sprinkling incense here and there. That's not righteousness. In fact, Yahweh says he doesn't even require that of us at this time. And of course, people who don't know the prophecy, they're fooled by these things. But Yahweh has a work, and he says sacrifices are not required of us at this time. That was a prophecy given for us. Now, if you miss that great food and it doesn't sink into your head up here, somebody's liable to tell you, hey, we need to start slinging incense around. If they knew, or if they would even study how that was done, they'd realize that those people had to be prepared for that. And the great effort it took to prepare themselves to even handle the vessels. And if we were to pick up those holy vessels now with our mind full of hypocrisy, we'd be immediately wiped out. And this was shown to be done in the scriptures also. But we're not equipped to do it. Yahweh didn't equip his house or this house in these last days to follow these laws. They are laws. We uphold these laws. And one day these laws are going to be practiced again here on earth, but not at this time. In fact, they won't be until Yahshua is coming. And a lot of these laws won't. I'm not going to cover all that today. I will cover it. He says, I'm going to bring all the foolishness out that's being taught. And I'll give you one more. You know, if you listen, Pastor is wise in years and also wise with the scriptures. And he'll even foretell events that will occur in your life if you go off on your own ego trip, Satan. Remember that from Yekeska 28? So it's a lesson to us. And if you fall into this, you're doing it against my word. I'm telling you, don't fall into these traps. Don't fall into these traps of unbelief. I'm telling you, I'm not boasting, I'm telling you what prophecy says. So then he continues and explains how the people at that time were offering things in the sanctuary and at the time of Yahshua. And they're the same ones offering them in the Vatican today. And they took over the temple by force. And they left Samuel. And then their children were taught. And they were sincere people, brethren. They didn't go out thinking that this was an evil thing they were doing when they turned to sodomy. They thought it was a righteous thing. And they thought it was righteous to keep this in secret, hidden from the public. It's something that they have to hide and not let the people know. So they called themselves separatists at Yahshua's time, and that's Pharisee, and it means separatists are those who separate himself from the people. But Yahshua didn't separate himself, did he? I never saw any place where he separated himself except for prayer and fasting. He was a worker. He says, come on, let's get involved in this work. Let's do the work. Hurry, hurry. Remember the words that I brought that out about being diligent and study. It involves hurrying. That's between the lines here. And it says, and there, and it says that, hurry. You know, it's work here and there, but in between it says, hurry. Praise Yahweh. So, brethren, let's push the work and show our belief by our obedience. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll now turn the service over to the future priest for closing prayer. Praise Yahweh.